Won't it be wonderful there? As we think about the many hymns that we sing, talking about our Lord and our Savior, talking about our worship unto Him, and those hymns that we sing about heaven, won't it be wonderful there? Thank Brother Richard for those selections on this evening. On last Sunday morning, or Sunday evening, we started a lesson entitled The Dangers the Church Face. The Dangers that the Church Face. We're going to continue looking at some dangers that the church face on this evening. I believe that many of us from our childhood until this present time, and some of you children, are seeing changes. And I believe that as we see changes that happen in this world, we have a tendency to want to grow, to want to change along with them. And that's okay. That's okay if it's having to do with the world in itself. We don't want to live in the dark ages. If you can afford to have electricity, by all means, get electricity. If you can afford to have running water in your home, get running water in your home. If you don't need to go out to an outhouse, build your bathroom on the inside. Those changes are good. We move and we look at the automobile, how far the automobile has come and how far they see it going. Now, I'm still waiting on the time of the Jetson days. That's what I'm waiting on. I want to get my briefcase, which I have one somewhere there or over there or back in Texas. I have one. I'm willing to get that briefcase and throw it down and it pops into an automobile and I can fly from point A to point B, not having to worry about anything. The traffic police, they're up there too. Changes is good. Brother Malachi and Brother Keldon, I was riding as we was coming back from picking them up from Mount Vernon, Illinois. And we got to a stopping point to do a little exchange in there. And one of them said something about Pokemon being over on top of the pole over there, the bald eagle. I'm not slowing down. We're continuing to roll on. Changes. You know, I remember when Pokemon was a card, trading cards. Now they run around with their cell phones looking for Pokemon and running into things, running out into traffic, falling off of cliffs, and all these other silly things. Some change is good, and some change we need to just leave alone. And I believe that as we think about change and we think about people saying, what can we do to get more people into the church? What can we do to get more people into the church? One thing is for sure that I believe, and many of you believe the same because we believe in God's word. We do not need to change what we're preaching. We do not need to change what we're teaching. We do not need to change how we're worshiping. Innovations in worship is unacceptable to God. Change in His gospel is unacceptable to God. So we need to understand those things as we think about dangers the church faces. In the book of Galatians, chapters 1, error that people are teaching. This is what's causing some people to fall away from the church. They're looking at these things and they're saying that I believe that this is a much better way. Much better way. Much better than what? Much better than what mom and dad studied. Much better than what grandma studied. Much better than what the apostles taught. Is it better than that? Now, in some cases, yes, you best better believe it's much better because some parents have never been members of the Lord's church. Some grandparents never obeyed the gospel. And we even find that one of the apostles strayed away. There he was, Judas, who betrayed Jesus. Peter, who strayed away but yet came back to the fold. But is there anything better than doing what God wants you to do? Is there anything better than teaching the gospel the way it is written? When someone says, I want to know about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what are you going to teach them? Listen what it says in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. As Paul is writing to the church of Galatia here, who was listening to those teachers of the law, he said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. A different gospel. I want you to understand, when you talk about something being different, it is not the same. You ever heard anyone say that? I have a shirt just like that, but it is what? A different color. No, when you look at the gospel, well, you're teaching it that way. I'm going to teach it this way, but you know, we're teaching the same gospel. If you're teaching something different, you are not teaching the same gospel. Paul says, not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And so if they're distorting the gospel of Christ, it's not the same gospel. Let's alter it just a little bit. Anita has this Texas sheet cake that she makes, and she makes it in different flavors. She makes it in chocolate, she makes it in vanilla, she makes it in lemon. And I heard her tell today she's going to try to make it in strawberry. She can keep all of them except for the chocolate and the vanilla. You know, I'm just a plain old guy. Give me vanilla or give me chocolate. That strawberry, that lemon, and whatever other flavor she want to make, that's for somebody else. That's not for me. I want something that is simple. I want something that is understandable. I want something that's going to be agreeable with me as I am with it. The gospel that we're looking at, the gospel that we need to be teaching, is something that God approved. Something that God approved. He's not going to change it, because the word of God is not going to change. It's going to be the same. But let's continue. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, if they preach you anything else, it's not the gospel that I taught. It's not the gospel that I obeyed. It's not the gospel that I preach. He said, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. For if we have said, for as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. Do you not believe that you can go anywhere and hear anything that's going to satisfy you? Yes, that is true. If you don't want to hear about sin, there's a place that's not preaching about sin. If you don't want to hear about salvation, there's a place that's not preaching about salvation. If you don't want to hear about how your worship is supposed to be acceptable to God, there's a place that's preaching about how your worship is not acceptable to God. There is a place for any and everybody. But what we have to understand, a danger that the church is facing, that men have gotten away from preaching the whole counsel of God. They're moved to skits. They're moved to plays. When this curtain is drawn, when this screen is let up and this curtain is drawn, you're not going to see a puppet show. What you're going to see is you're going to see an individual obeying the gospel, one that is being immersed in a watery grave of baptism. But people have removed this. And they have gotten to the point where they want to entertain people in order to please them. God's word is what is supposed to please people. And it is not to the extent of saying, oh, that is going to make me feel good. Sometimes when you hear God's word, it's not going to make you feel so good. And it should not. You should have something pricked in you when you're doing wrong, and you should be willing to change. The gospel that Paul wrote about, the gospel that Paul taught, the gospel that he continued to stress to the people, it was not a gospel that they always wanted to hear. When they were told that they should not be with their family members in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5 because they were committing sin, he said, you know, come from among them, come away from them, quit associating with them. That's a gospel. That is good news, because what it's telling us is that if we come away from them, we would remain saved. And if we leave them alone, hopefully they'll come back to the fold before it's too late. That is good news. Now, it's sad that they're gone. It's sad that we cannot spend time with them. But the good thing is, if we treat them the way the Bible tells us to treat them, hopefully and prayerfully, they'll come back to the fold before it's everlasting too late. So we find the danger that the church faces is error. It's error. And we have to be very careful when we look in God's word and we talk about these things. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. But when Cephas came to Antioch, and I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Continuing on, and the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Look what he said one more time there in verse 14. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth. That means if you're not in step with the truth, you're in error. This is a danger that the church faces, not just here as Paul is writing there in the book of Galatians. There he withstood Peter to the face. He said, you're not doing what's right. And so I believe today that as we look at people and we see the way they're treating other people when they're around certain people, that somebody need to withstand them to the face. Someone need to tell them, you're not in step with the truth. You're in error and you need to change, because that is a danger that the church faces. We know how serious danger is. Danger. You know, you ride down the highway, and they've been doing some blasting, or maybe they'll even finish the blasting. The blasting has been finished for years, and then they have this netting over all this rock, and they say, danger, falling rock. And you just look and you wonder, is that rock really falling? And a lot of times when we're thinking about the rock falling, we're steady looking up where we need to look down at the rock that has already fell, and even some have come out into the roadway. There's a danger there. But what they're telling you is, don't linger around here, don't play around here, because more rock might fall. Danger. There's dangers that the church faces, and as the church faces these dangers, we cannot take them lightly. When someone is not doing what they're supposed to do, when someone is not acting the way they're supposed to act, when they're teaching error, we need to get them right. We need to straighten them out. You shouldn't, you know, linger around and say, oh, it's going to be okay. He's going to quit doing that sooner or later. Paul said, if anyone teach another gospel, let him be accursed. When someone is not walking in step with the truth, they need to be withstood to the face. They need to be told what they're doing. And we find that another danger that the church faces is worldliness. When we get away from God's word, and again, we begin to do the things that we want to do and accept whatever is put out there because, oh, it sounds good, it looks good. But we have to understand that people today, they're looking for a change, and the change needs to be in them and not in God's word. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse is 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse is 10. We find people that go back out into the world. Why? Because they love what is going on out there. They think that they're missing something. You know, we have people that have been in the church all their life, and they get to a certain age and they say, you know, I want to go out there into the world. I want to experience what's out there for myself. Or we have some that have come out of the world, and now that they're in the church, they may see something out there that they think that they're missing. A lot of times they just act up on those things. They no longer think about them, but they go ahead and go out there and do what is wrong. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses 10. He says, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. He loved this present world. What exactly does that mean? Oh, I look up and the sky is blue. Man, I'm in love with that. Oh, well, I live in Kentucky and they say it's a bluegrass state. Oh, I'm in love with that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the sinful things that go on out there. missing something that he has probably come away from, but yet now he want to go back out there to those things, whether it was drinking, whether it was, you know, committing fornication or adultery, whatever it was, he loved those things more than he loved God's word. We need to look at our lives today, and we need to look at some church members, and we need to talk to them about what they're doing, because dangers the church faces. You know, I go to congregations, and there may be, you know, 20 15 to 20 people there. What that church is facing the danger that one day everybody's going to die and that church no longer exists in that local area there, because there's no one coming in. There's a danger in not going out to spread God's word. There's a danger not teaching the truth as it is written. There's a danger of not sitting down with your neighbors, not sitting down with your family and telling them what they must do in order to be saved. It's a danger that the church faces because people are not teaching God's word the way they're supposed to. Why? Because they love this world more than they love God. James chapter 1, verse 27. James chapter 1, verse 27. Many times, again, as we think about being worldly, we don't think about what we need to be doing. We don't understand what James is writing about right here. James 1, 27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father, is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world. I'm too busy to go and visit them. I got to run over here. Bingo night. I got to run over here because, you know, they're giving out free samples at the winery over here, or the distillery over here. You know, let's take a tour. They tell me that they're making a new beer now. I was in the store the other day, and this guy had this fancy pack, six pack. I said, "What are you drinking there?" He said, "Oh, this imported whatever." And he said, "Oh, it tastes good." And when he said imported, I knew good and well it wasn't soda. Because they make the soda right here in the U.S. of A. We don't have to import it in. We can make it. But this no lame beer or whatever is important. They bring it in. Worldly things people are falling for. They love those changes. But what we have to understand, pure religion undefiled, is this: that we need to take time to go out and visit the fatherless and the widows in their time of affliction. That's not the only time we go out and visit. We need to go and visit people on a regular basis, but especially in their time of affliction. When they need us, we need to be there. Whether it's just to listen to them, whether it's, you know, just to sit there and talk to them, or sit there and just look at each other. No, we never know what's going on through people's minds. But we have to understand, once again, pure religion and undefiled before God is this: that we do exactly what we're supposed to do. That last part. Again, what do? We keep oneself unstained from the world. Keep oneself unstained from the world. Worldliness is going to get a whole lot of people in trouble. Worldliness is going to get a whole lot of people in trouble. And then we think about indifference. Let's just teach it like this. I believe that God is, it really be okay if I teach it like this, and instead of the way it's written, let's change some things. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, indifference. Matthew chapter 12. There's a people that's going to continue to reject God's word. They're going to reject God's word until the day they die, and then it's too late. It's too late. They're going to pay the price for rejecting God's word. But we find in Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to start with verse 28. "But if it is by the Spirit of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can someone enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then indeed he may plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, people. But the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or in the age to come." People need to accept God's word for the way it is written. They need to understand not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not to reject the Holy Spirit, but accept what the Holy Spirit has said. And what has he said? He has said a whole lot. He haven't said anything that God did not tell him to say. He did not say anything that Jesus did not tell him to say. Men did not write anything in this book that the Holy Spirit did not tell them to write. If you are for me, that's great. That's great. But if you're against me, there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some problems. So indifference, we cannot have that. It is causing the church to dwindle away. We know that the church is going to stand forever. But these are dangers that the church faces where people do not want to accept the truth. And the reason they don't want to accept the truth is because people, again, are not teaching everything that is written in God's word. So we have this doctrine that has been corrupted. We talked about the other gospel, again, which is not another gospel. We talked about worldliness, which we know that being worldly is not what God desires. And we have a lot of people that are worldly, and we just need to look at them and say, you are a worldly person, and then explain to them what that really means. They may think it's just laying out on the beach and enjoying themselves. We need to tell them what being worldly is all about. We need to tell them that when they're trying to just get all the material things and they want to hold on to those things, we need to tell them that, as Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I shall leave. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So we need to let them know and understand that when you're trying to hold on to things and trying to get all that you can get, that the Bible is very clear when he says the love of money is the root of all evil. Trying to get all you can. And we have people that are putting money before God. But let's go back and talk about this doctrine of corruptedness for just a moment. Because, people are corrupting the doctrine of our Lord and our Savior. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. People writing a whole lot of books. As they write them books, people are picking up those books and they're looking at them, they're reading them, and they say, oh, that makes a whole lot of sense. Man, look at this right here. This is telling me all I got to do is be a good person and everything is going to be all right. They reading all these books and they say, man, this is a Christian book right here, but that book has no doctrine in it at all. Has no book, chapter, and verse, but yet they are taking that book and they're putting it ahead of the book. The Bible is very clear when he says again in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. He didn't say you go get a book written by this individual here, a book written by that individual. They may be members of the Lord's church, but some of the trash that they put in those books, they should be ashamed. They should be ashamed. They tell you how to become a Christian, but yet they never tell you about obeying the gospel. How can you do that? I talked to a man and I asked him one time, was he a member of the body of Christ? He said, no, I'm not a member of the body of Christ, but I'm a Christian. Oh, you have not been taught. You have not been taught. Because becoming a member of the body of Christ means that you have become a Christian. So when we start talking about salvation, we have to go and we have to pick up the book and we have to show people how to become a Christian. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the verses 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the verses 13. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me. In the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Follow the pattern. You want to make something and you want it to come out like you see it, follow the pattern. Have you ever ordered a cake and you went and picked up that cake and you said, it don't look like the picture. Something is wrong here. The person did not follow the pattern. I had a silver car and I wanted to get that car painted. And they painted the car and then went back and I was like, whoa, back up. This car is two different colors. No, that is the same color. Yes, it's the same color, silver, but it's a different color. Look at it. I said, tell me what happened. Man broke down. And he said, well, the painter quit in the middle of it. You cannot quit painting a silver car in the middle. You have to finish what you start so it will be the same color, because every time you mix it up, it's going to be a different color. So Some of you go out and buy brand new cars, and you can look at that car sometime and tell where they're messed up, and they try to paint it if you look very careful. Now, nobody go out there and try that, but you can do it. You can do it with silver. You can do it with black. You can do it with white. You can do it with red. You can do it with those colors. But some of the other colors, they can pull a quick one over on you. But we have to look at the pattern, and we have to do things right. People are pulling quick ones over on other people because they're not looking at the pattern. Dangers that the church faces. We need to understand that there is but one way. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 now, looking at verse 1 and 2. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Brother Malachi, Brother Keldon, young Christians, we want to instill in them the truth, the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want them to be faithful, for we can teach them these things so that they, when they get old enough, will be able to teach others. The pattern. Well, you know, how would it look for Malachi to walk up to his dad and say, hey, daddy, could you tell me how, you know, I can present this lesson? And here he has his Bible open and he's given to his daddy, and his daddy said, oh, we don't need that today. If I'm going to teach you how to preach the gospel or teach the gospel, you don't need that. Wouldn't that be crazy? I know Brother Mark wouldn't do anything like that. I'm hoping Malachi would do exactly that, though. Take the Bible and say, daddy, show me. And in turn, Mark will open his Bible or take that same Bible and show him the pattern. That's what we want. We want the pattern. We want people to stand firm in the truth of God's word. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. The things that we've talked about, the dangers that the church faces in ignorance is one. Again, ignorance is one that we talked about. Compromise is another. Apostasy is another one. People fall away. We know that they're going to fall away, but it does not have to be you. Let's stand firm in God's word and do what is right. Dangers that the church faces. Let's continue to pray for the church. Let's continue to pray for members of the church that we all may understand God's word and we might all teach God's word the way that it is written. If you're here this evening, you're not a member of the Lord's church. You understand who Jesus Christ is. You understand what sin is. You understand the consequences of sin. We want you to come this evening to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to be immersed in the watery graves of baptism, rise to walk a newness of life. That is our desire. We want you to be strong. We want you to be a member of the Lord's church. We want you to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want that because that's what God wants. If you're here and you're straight away and you're ready to come back, today is the day. Come, confess your faults. Ask the church to pray for you that you may be strengthened. Dangers that the church faces that people do not want to admit when they have done wrong or when they are wrong. Dangers that the church faces. If you're here and you're subject to an invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.